Cena, I'll always love you.
Welcome everyone to Xena and Uber's podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 188. This podcast show is for all the Xena and Uber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So hello everyone and welcome back to XNU. Hope everyone's doing well. We are at the moment being flooded in. We're having torrential rain for the last 3 or 4 days, and they're saying that it's not going to let up for a while. So, I think I'm going to have to bring out the little yellow arm floaty devices and have a go to try and get out my own house. But anyway, let's get into the show. You should all know by now that the music clip this week was Rihanna's Disturbia, and it goes with this section of the storyline. So let's get in with the book review. Okay, this week's book review over at Bold Strokes Books is The Night Off by Megan O'Brien. And I've reviewed several of Megan's books on the story, and this is another one that we have. This one's not due to be released until July of this year, so it's one that you're going to have to wait for unless you know somewhere else to get it. But the description goes like this. Emily Parker has a busy life over which she maintains ironclad control. Raised by drug-addicted parents, she's used to taking care of the people around her, to the exclusion of her own needs. But not tonight. After years of celibacy, she's ready to pay for exactly what she wants, to surrender control by having it taken away. Having worked as a high-priced escort for years, Nat Swain not only enjoys her job, she's damn good at it. Dangerously sexy, she knows precisely how to fulfill the fantasies of women who enjoy her special brand of make-believe. All without ever becoming emotionally involved. When their night of intense play turns into something more, Emily and Nat can't help but pursue a connection in the real world. Unfortunately, old habits die hard, and love isn't always enough. Or is it? So that's The Night Off by Megan O'Brien. And of course, I have a link on my show notes for you to have a look.
Initializing process. Oh, crap.
Well, going out in the world wide web, we really don't have much out here today because everybody's gearing up for the Xena convention. For those of you who are attending, congratulations, and I am so envious. And for those of you who are not attending, I commiserate with you. Over at Mary D's site, she's got an update regarding what's going on with it. She says, hey folks, it's coming close to the convention, and all the AUS XIP editing staff will be at the convention. This is the first time this has happened, which is interesting. And she will be doing a live blogging session from the convention that you can follow at the convention page there, or on Twitter or Facebook. So you can check that out at AUS XIP. Renee O'Connor has not updated her site yet as of this year, so we'll keep you posted on that. And over at the official Lucy Lawless fan club site, she has posted a notice that, you know, it's the convention and that Lucy Lawless will be there starting from the 27th through the 29th, so you can have a look at that. Well, that's just to let everybody know I'm not doing a movie review this week because everybody's gone to the convention, so it would be a waste of time and effort to post one out when no one would be looking. But also for the fact that I don't have one. So, we're going to skip that and get right into the show.
Come and get
me. Warrior Mind by me, your host, Cass. Hello? Hi, Dad. Madeline here. I was just wondering if you'd like to do coffee tomorrow. Oh, hi, Madeline. Sorry, I'll have to pass on that.
Oh, okay. Got something going on?
Madeline asked. Excuse me, Madeline, but I'm just walking out the door and a bit pressed for time. Madeline bristled at the non-response and being dismissed, but kept her tone even.
Sure, some other time then. Maybe. Bye.
Goodbye, Tay replied and disconnected the call, rushing out the door and into her car. After Tay had been at work for over 2 hours straight, Tina, a co-worker of hers, called out from her office door. Teh?
Yes.
Just finishing up your report. What's up? Teh replied, not looking up from her computer. There are three different people here to see you.
Three different? What do you mean?
She looked up confused and curious.
Well, a really gorgeous woman came in asking to speak with you, and not a moment later, two rough-looking suits came in asking to see you, too.
Who is the woman? Teh Eagle asked.
A Miss General? She says you know her?
Tina looked at her with a little tilt of her head in question.
Yes, I do. Who are the suits?
They said Detectives Robinson and Harmon.
Detectives? Wonder why and what for?
Shrugging her shoulders, Tina said,
They didn't say.
Okay, can you bring Miss General over and sit the detectives in a meeting room? Tell them I'll be with them in a few minutes. Teh asked, while rising from a chair and unconsciously straightening out her clothes.
Sure thing, Tina replied.
Chuckling at Tez's reaction, headed back towards the entry foyer.
She isn't there.
Tina motioned to Tez's office and closed it after Zenifra entered.
Hello, Zenifra. What a surprise. How are you?
Well, thank you. I stopped by in hopes of asking you out for coffee, but it seems you have business to attend to that has just asked for you as well.
Oh,
Tez said disappointedly.
Yes, I don't know what they would want of me, though.
I shall not take up any of your time so that you might find out.
Zenifra turned as if to leave.
Would you mind if I asked you to stay? I know that it's in position, but that way once I'm done with them, you and I can go get that coffee.
Teh asked, as she did not want to miss an opportunity with Zenifra.
If you so wish, then I shall stay and wait for you.
Thank you. I'll be back as soon as possible. Did you want to sit here or on the sofa outside the meeting room, which is more comfortable than these office torture devices they call chairs?
The sofa will do nicely. Thank you.
Zenifra turned and followed Teh out towards the meeting room.
Okay, I'll be out in a tick,
Teh said while Zenifra nodded as she sat down and picked up a magazine. Teh entered the meeting room to find two women standing, waiting somewhat impatiently for her.
Hello, I'm Kate D'Olympia. How can I help you?
Miss D'Olympia, I'm Detective Robinson, and this is my partner, Detective Harmon.
Teh nodded to the other woman.
Miss D'Olympia, do you know Miss Tabitha Moore?
Yes, she's my friend. Why?
When was the last time you saw Miss Moore?
Thursday night. She called me because she had gotten rested and asked me to bail her out.
Did you?
Detective Harmon asked.
Yes. She's my best friend since grade school. I always help her out.
Did you happen to drive her home that night?
Detective Robinson asked.
Yes. No. I was on a date that night. My date offered to go with me and bail her out. We didn't. Tabitha and I got into a tiny verbal tiff.
Oh?
Detective Harmon queried.
Yeah. She's always making remarks about my, being,
Yes?
Detective Harmon pressed.
Well, she made a remark about me never being possibly arrested for something like solicitation like she did, and I snapped and made some remark back. My date intervened.
Did your date have a name?
Yes, her name is Madeline Treslidge.
Both detectives arched one eyebrow and looked at each other, but said nothing.
So did you drive her home?
Detective Robinson continued.
No. Madeline offered as we'd just finished our date when Tabitha called, so she said you'd drop her off and call it a night.
Did this Madeline seem mad or upset about ending the night?
No. She said something else to me that we talked about earlier that evening, and then something about talking with Tabitha over the comment she made after I bailed her out.
Have you spoken with Tabitha since that night?
Detective Harmon asked, while still writing in her notepad.
No. She talks to me what she wants. I'm waiting for her to apologize for what she said. She usually does after about a week or so.
Teh looked between the two detectives.
What is all this about anyways? Why are you asking so much about Tabitha?
Well, Miss D'Olympia, I'd give up any notion of you getting that apology. You see, Miss Moore is dead.
Detective Robinson started as she walked over to Teh, seeing her blench at the words.
No, no, no!
Teh's voice rose, quivering before breaking down into sobs. The door to the meeting room suddenly flung open with Zenifra storming in, going to Teh. Teh immediately ran into Zenifra's arms, sobbing uncontrollably.
Who are you?
What has happened?
Both the detectives and Zenifra asked at the same time.
Are you Madeline
Treslidge? Is Kate's family all right?
Again they spoke at the same time. Zenifra stiffened at hearing Madeline's name.
No, I am not her. I am Zenifra General, a friend of Kate's.
Zenifra replied while lending comfort and soothing Teh.
Miss Olympia's family is fine. We're investigating Miss Moore's murder.
Murder?
Teh croaked out.
You never said she was murdered. Oh, dear God.
Teh muttered before fainting in Zenifra's arms. When she came to, Teh
to find herself lying in the meeting room sofa, a cold washcloth to her forehead. Blinking blearily, she tried to focus on the first thing she saw was that of a furrowed brow in Sneefer's concerned face above her.
Oh, why do I feel like a freight train hit my head?
She grumbled while putting her hand to her forehead.
Kate, how are you feeling?
Sneefer's soothing voice asked as she placed a gentle hand to Tess Fett as she sat on the edge of the sofa.
A little knocked out, but aside from that, okay, I guess.
Care to try and sit up?
A small nod. Sneefer rose and assisted Tess to the sitting position. Tina brought off some bottles of cold water and handed one to her.
Thanks,
Tess said after taking a few sips.
Miss Olympia, we are sorry for your loss,
Detective Harmon said.
Do you have any idea who could have done this?
No. Not that I can think of right now.
Have you spoken with Miss Trechlich since that night?
Detective Harmon continued to ask.
Yes and no. She actually called this morning, asked to meet her for coffee.
Tay looked down to her hands, feeling somewhat ashamed, then back to Sneefer and back down again.
I told her I wanted to pass, as I was running late, so I had told her I had to go, and we hung up.
Is there any way of contacting her?
Yes, I've got her number in my phone.
We'll need that.
Yes, of course. Now, tell me what happened to Tab.
The detectives looked to one another.
Look, I have a right to know after you two dropped me like that. She's my...
A deep breath.
She was my best friend. I can take it, I promise. No more passing out.
Detective Robinson nodded to the other detective.
Well, Miss Moore was found yesterday in her apartment. Apparently the next-door neighbor, Mrs. Grathers, knocked and called as Miss Moore had not picked her up to take her to do her shopping on Sunday. But there was no answer, so she tried later that night, when standing at the door. Something smelled off to her. She called the building landlord, who called maintenance. When they opened the door, they found Miss Moore. Preliminary investigation point to Miss Moore having been sexually assaulted, and then stabbed. No other signs of struggle or burglary.
Oh, dear God, Tab!
Tay gasped, putting her face in her hands. Sneefer sat down and put an arm around Tay, who put a hand on Zephyr's strong shoulder.
Did she have a possible date that night?
The detective asked while writing some notes down in her notepad.
No, not that I know of. She didn't mention anything about scoring with someone. And Madeline drove her home, so I don't know what they talked about.
Okay, Miss Olympia. Could we bother you for that number now? We've finished for now, but need to get your whereabouts for that night. We'll be in touch.
Detective Robinson concluded.
Sure. It's in my bag.
Are you all right to stand up?
Sneefer asked.
Yeah. I want to get out of here anyways. Tina, I...
Go home, Tay. I'll take care of everything. Tina cut her off.
Thanks, T.
Sneefer rose and extended a hand to help Tay up. Keeping an eye on her, she walked to her office, giving the detectives the information and gathered her things.
Kate, I do not think it is a wise idea to drive home in your state of mind. Allow me to take you home, please.
Actually, would you mind if we just walked to the park up the road a bit? I could use the fresh air and walk.
Certainly.
Somberly, they exited the building and walked to the park a few blocks away. As Sneefer had noticed Tip bundle up, she motioned them over to a coffee stand and bought two hot chocolates.
Here. Seems as if you could use a little comforting warmth.
Thank you, Sneefer. For everything. I don't mean to burden you with...
Kate.
Sneefer interrupted her gently.
You are no burden to me in any regard. I am only glad to be able to be here for you in any way you see fit.
Oh, Sneefer!
Ted broke down, crying. Sneefer walked over to a park bench, guiding Ted to sit down, allowing her to use her shoulder to cry on.
Oh, Sneefer, she's gone!
She sobbed.
Yes, Kate. I'm sorry for your loss. Truly.
Who could have done this to her? Why?
She continued crying.
Allow the detectives to do their work, and in time they will provide all the answers.
She didn't deserve this, Sneefer. She didn't deserve this.
Sneefer said no more, but held Ted within one arm, wrapped secured around her, as Ted let go of her anguish and her tears. After a while of crying, Ted finally began to compose herself.
Oh, what have I done to your coat?
She said, wiping her nose with a handkerchief Sneefer had provided.
It's soaked.
It has not been put to better use than to accept and take away the tears of hurt and grief from your loss,
she replied. Ted jumped, startled at the phone ringing all of a sudden. She opened her bag and answered the phone.
Hello? Daddy, yes, I'm okay. Tina told you? Yeah, they said they found her murdered. Thanks, Daddy. What? No, I'm sitting with Zanifra. She's been my rock today, Daddy. No, I'll be okay. I'll talk with you later, Daddy. Yes, I love you too, Daddy. Bye.
Zanifra had stood and walked a few paces away to give Ted some privacy, but she had heard the entire conversation and was shocked but gladdened when she heard Ted tell her father that she was a rock.
That was my dad. News travels fast. Bad news even faster.
Let me escort you home.
No, I mean, if it's okay with you, I'd rather not just go home just yet. That's if you don't mind. I feel safe around you.
Let it always be so, Kate.
Zanifra replied. Do you wish to accompany me to my home, at least?
I would rather get you out of this weather and somewhere warm, and if you desire, you can either peruse the library or rest there. Take your mind off the current situation.
Are you sure?
Zanifra extended her hand as reply, and they walked back to Tel's building, where Zanifra's limo sat waiting for her return.
Philippe!
Zanifra called out as she entered her home.
Mistress, Mr. Olympia.
He bowed politely to both.
Philippe, please arrange a warm meal for Kate. Draw a warm bath for her in one of the guest rooms, and have Veronica's sister with her clothes.
Yes, mistress, at once.
He gave a nod and went about his duties. On the ride over, Zanifra had suggested Ted be her guest while the detective sorted out the details, and emotions ran high for Ted. She did not allude to the fact that she felt protected over her, and that it brought peace of mind to have her safe here in her home. Ted tried to protest, albeit not willingly, as she really didn't want to stay, but every excuse was rebutted with a justified counter-reason to stay. The final nudge had been when Zanifra had called Frank and offered her suggestions, and he wholeheartedly agreed. Zanifra had excused herself to make a few phone calls when she walked in to find Ted was curled up in the wing-back chair in front of the fireplace in the library, with a book splayed on her lap, asleep. Setting the book aside, Zanifra knelt down and brushed Ted's hair from her face, quietly admiring her beauty. With a smile to her face, Zanifra whispered, "Oh, Kate." Then she scooped her up easily into her arms, rising one graceful movement and carried her to the guest room. She felt a heart skip when Ted unconsciously snuggled into her and let out a small sigh of contentment. Gently laying her down to the bed, Zanifra pulled the blankets up and around Ted and brushed the hair off him off her face again. Ted reflexively pulled her hand into hers, put it to her heart and rolled onto her side, essentially trapping Zanifra in her grasp. Being one used to long periods of stillness, Zanifra waited until Ted was in a very deep sleep before extracting a hand with a wistful thought.
"Riel, come sit with me."
"But there is so much to prepare for, my curious,"
the little serf replied.
"The only thing I shall need is you, there with me. Besides, what shall you do whilst I am away? Go aboard if you do it all tonight."
"True, my warrior, true."
She stopped folding and walked over to where the warrior was sitting and sat down, the warrior's much larger hand into her smaller one.
"I shall miss you,"
she whispered.
"And are you, little one?"
They looked into each other's eyes, wanting so much to express their bodies, hearts, and souls' desire to be with one another, but knowing it was forbidden to consummate such an act without the blessing of the goddess and ritual, as they were now betrothed. A snap of the log fire broke their trance, and they both smiled shyly, entwining their hands. That is how the warrior woke to find them in the morning, arms wrapped around each other with hands clasped. Not wanting to disturb Riel's dream, the warrior slowly separated their hands, placing a gentle kiss to the crown of her head, and then turned, with one final glance back to her sleeping visage, exited the room to make final arrangements for the day's journey out. Tess stretched luxuriously and then opened her eyes, confusion furrowing her brow. This was not her room, her bed. Then it came crashing down upon her. Her best friend was gone. Murdered.
"Oh, Tab, what happened to you?"
she whispered. Grabbing a robe that was laid out on the edge of the bed, she padded out of the room after washing up and heading in the direction of the breakfast table like last time.
"Like last time,"
Ted thought to herself.
"Ted wanted to sleep with her so badly."
She shook her head to rid herself of the thought.
"Good morning, miss,"
Veronique said softly.
"Oh, good morning, Veronique. Would you care for coffee or tea, miss?" "Coffee would be great, thank you. Is Zanifra here this morning?"
Tae asked as she sat down and watched Verity gather coffee for her.
Good morning, Kate.
A silky, rich voice burred, causing Tae to close her eyes and her body to shiver.
Oh, gods, I love that,
she thought.
I hope you slept well.
Zanifa inquired as she strode in casually dressed and seated herself, Philippe immediately placing a steaming cup of tea before her.
Good morning, Zanifa. Yes, thank you. For everything.
She sipped her coffee. She murmured in appreciation.
It is my pleasure, Kate. I only wish I could do more.
Not telling Tae that she had gone out last night and found Tabitha's apartment, and done some investigating on her own. She had looked about and with her heightened senses seen things others could not, giving her insight to who it could possibly be.
So, you'll be all going to work soon?
Tae asked.
No, I have taken the rest of the week off.
Not because of me! Please!
Tae interrupted, looking up quickly.
I would like to help you, if you would allow me, in supporting you through this.
Zanifa, you've done so much already,
Tae said, but quietly rejoiced in the fact because she had secretly wanted Zanifa to stay with her today.
If you do not wish for me...
No, sorry, it's just... Thank you, yes, please.
Tae then amended her reply.
But on one condition.
Zanifa cocked her head and raised one eyebrow slightly at the sudden change in Tae's response.
As you wish.
That you tell me a bit about yourself.
Zanifa's eyes widened, then blinked at having been caught off guard at this request.
You said as I wish.
A mischievous tiny grin to Tae's face let Zanifa know she was caught.
Yes, I did.
And not the business side of you either.
Tae put the coffee cup down that she had held cupped with both hands. Zanifa's response with a nod in agreement. They ate breakfast in friendly conversation.
I need to go home, get judged, and then call those detectives to find out where to go from here.
Tae said, rising from a seat at the table.
Do you wish to be alone?
Zanifa asked.
No, not really. Will you?
Tae stopped.
I would and I shall.
Zanifa smiled back. Tae changed back to new clothes from the previous evening and then they headed over. At the entry to Tae's home, Zanifa hummed.
I will go over to...
You can come in, Zanifa. I don't mind. That's if you don't mind waiting a little while I freshen up and change clothes.
Zanifa sighed heavily.
Are you certain?
Zanifa asked, as Tae did not know the significance of granting permission to enter aloud.
I trust you, Zanifa. Don't ask me why. I know that I do, and I feel you would do me no harm.
You have my sworn oath to that, Kate.
Then come on. I'm sure Daddy will be over in a minute anyways, to be the overprotective father.
She opened the front door and held it open, waiting for Zanifa to enter. Zanifa took a deep breath and then slowly walked through the open doorway. True to Tae's words, her father knocked and entered through the connecting door of the house.
Tae, you okay?
He immediately embraced her into a hug.
Yes, Daddy, I'm okay. I think I cried most of it out of my system yesterday.
Miss General, Zanifa, thank you for being there for Tae,
he said as he greeted her.
You are most welcome, sir, but it is not necessary. It was an honor to help.
Daddy, will you please keep Zanifa company while I go and freshen up?
Sure, pumpkin.
He kissed the crown of his daughter's head.
You go do that. I can smell you from here.
He joked.
Daddy!
She lightly backhanded him in the gut with a touch of a blush coloring her cheeks in mild embarrassment.
Abuse. You saw that, Zanifa. Abuse.
He joked while grabbing his stomach in mock hurt. Zanifa covered her smile by turning away, looking towards the ceiling with putting hands in a pocket, and whistling an off-handed tune, causing Tae to laugh.
Ha! Team Tae scores.
While doing a little happy dance as she walked down the hallway to her room.
Oh, I see how it is.
He laughed. Once Tae was showering, he looked over to Zanifa with a serious face on.
So how is she really?
She's coping remarkably well. She did indeed have a good cry over it to the point of exhaustion, actually causing her to fall asleep reading one of the historical journals I possess.
For her to fall asleep reading one of those things is true exhaustion. She used to pace and read so she would not miss something while in college,
he remarked back, while turning to look towards her bedroom.
I am making inquiries into the situation, as I know it must concern Kate of her friend's tragic demise, but yours is mine as well, as well as our mutual assurance that this is not any way targeted to Kate.
Thank you, I am...
Zanifa raised a hand in a stopping motion.
It is the least I could do. He nodded. So what happens now?
Kata mentioned contacting the authorities to answer that very question. Did Tabitha have any family?
No. Her parents died a few years ago and she was an only child. Never spoke of cousins or anyone else.
I will have my attorney find out if she had a will or died intestate. Also, if there were any arrangements for her last wishes.
The bedroom door opened and Tim emerged, hair still damp and dressed in jeans and a university sweatshirt. Seeing her, Sunifa was captivated by the simplistic beauty, and Frank could see it in her eyes.
Daddy?
Yes, Pumpkin.
I want to handle Tab's arrangement,
Tess said determinedly.
Okay, hon. I'll get you the number.
Thanks, Daddy.
She sat next to the phone and rummaged through her purse, getting the detective's phone number and dialing. After speaking with the detectives, Tay looked to her dad and Zanifa.
Well, the coroner will release her to the funeral home when he's done. And once I'm cleared, I can go and fill out all the paperwork regarding our apartment, though. The forensics haven't been completed, but they'll let me know so that I can make arrangements as well. They still have to verify all my information, and it'll take a few days.
Well, Pumpkin, I'm sure that will happen soon enough. In the meanwhile, I'll get you those numbers, and I assume you will stay with Zanifa. I'd feel at least knowing you'd be safe and in good company.
Okay, Daddy. I'll just go get a few things, Zanifa.
She told them both. Take as long as you wish, Kate, she replied.
Well, I'll leave your girls be.
Frank gave Tay a kiss again on the head.
You be good.
And then went to shake Zanifa's hand, but instead Sunny pulled her in an impromptu hug, whispering,
thank you,
to a startled Zanifa. He then turned and left the two women alone, thinking,
damn, she's a stocky strong one.
Ted just shrugged and went back to her bedroom, leaving Zanifa standing puzzled in the living room. When Tay returned, she found Zanifa playing with the crossbow.
You know, I almost took someone's head off with that thing. I didn't know it was loaded,
Tay said, pointing to the crossbow in Zanifa's hands.
I apologize for that. It is habit.
Zanifa replied unconsciously while removing the arrow and placing it down next to the crossbow.
All set, then?
Yes, thanks again.
Kate?
Yes?
There is no need for your constant expression of appreciation. I am only too happy to help in any manner possible.
Okay, sorry.
Nor apologies, for you have done no wrong.
Sheesh, are you always this way?
Tess smiled to show she was not serious. Zanifa cocked her head with a quizzical expression to her face.
So amiable and forgiving and...
Does this bother you?
No. I'm just not used to meeting anyone quite like you.
Is that a bad thing?
No. Very refreshing, actually.
Good.
Zanifa replied, picking up a bag Ted had placed on the floor and handing out the front door. After Bree stopped to Zanifa's office and then over to the funeral home to set an appointment time, Zanifa asked,
would you care to dine out or have a meal in my home?
Oh, I don't want to commit...
Kate.
A rich and softly velvety voice burred.
Let me guess. If you ask, then it's not an inconvenience, right?
Tay enjoyed Zanifa's voice saying her name.
Correct.
Okay. Have you ever had Bubbaloo's Bodacious Barbecue?
Pardon?
I'll take that as a no. Okay. Thomas!
Tay called up to the cab driver.
Can you take us to 1792 and Lee Road, please? Thank you.
Tess sat back, enjoying the tiny look of confusion on Zanifa's face. They pulled along the side of the road and exited.
Come on, my treat,
Tess said, grabbing Zanifa's hand and pulling her into the little restaurant.
Tab and I would come here every so often, so this is kind of my way of keeping a good memory of her. And besides, you haven't lived till you had this food.
Tess was ordering for both of them and motioned for Zanifa to precede her and sit down at one of the inside bench tables. Returning from the ordering counter, Tess handed Zanifa a glass of iced tea.
Though it's cold outside, you really can't eat this without some homemade iced tea,
she said opposite her.
This is a unique establishment.
Zanifa admired the ambience.
This is the best place in the world for ribs and fixins.
Fixins?
Zanifa asked with a small smile that at Tez's happier mood.
The accompaniments to your meal. Southern talk.
Oh.
When the number was called, Tez jumped up.
I'll get it.
She placed a tray laden with food down on the table and returned to the counter for a second, which was just as full.
All this?
Zanifa looked at the food and then back to Tay.
Yep. Trust me on this one. I'll explain, okay? Here's your slab of ribs.
She began distributing the food.
Then here's your coleslaw, fried okra, baked beans, and corn.
Zanifa's only movement were her eyes looking from the food to Tez and back again.
Come on, trust me. You'll eat it all and wonder how later.
Tay teased with a wink as she picked up a rib and began eating.
Xenifa relaxed and sat back in her seat after finishing her meal. "See? You ate it all," Tay said quite proudly of herself.
"Yes, you were correct."
"That's it!"
Tess said suddenly, which caused Xenifa to involuntarily reach for something she had not carried for over a millennia. Realizing there was no danger, Xenifa relaxed her tense body.
"Is everything all right?"
"I finally figured out what it is about you, what part of you that I find wholly different."
Xenifa waited in silence.
"Your speech," Tess finally said. "You speak uniquely different than those all around us. You speak proper English, not counting off words or endings or even..."
Tess sighed.
"It's like... but like that, instead of it's, you say it is. You speak in an old-world manner of formality. You never use contractions."
"Does that bother you?"
Xenifa finally asked.
"No, not at all. I find it..."
A blush rose to her cheeks.
"Very attractive. It gives you an air of mystery."
Tay lowered her head.
"Why aren't you with someone, Xenifa? Why are you single?"
"Ah, so she finally asked."
Xenifa thought to herself.
"Truth is, Kate, I do not know."
"Was there ever someone?"
Ted looked up and saw a brief glimpse of pain cross Xenifa's face.
"Yes."
"What happened, if you don't mind me asking?"
She is dead."
"Oh, Xenifa, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up a sad memory."
"It was long ago,"
Xenifa said with a hint of sadness lingering in the conversation.
"So no one has been close to you since?"
"No."
So, where do you come from?"
Tess sucked the bottom of her drink through a straw.
"I was born in Greece. My mother died at my birth, and my father was a commander in the military. He raised me until I was old enough to follow in his footsteps and join the military."
"Wow, did you enjoy it? The military, I mean. Is your dad still around?"
"Yes and no. I did in the beginning enjoy the military. But circumstances change. And no, my father passed long ago as well."
"Sorry. Seems like we have similar upbringings, though, now that I think about it. My mother died when I was a baby, and my dad raised me."
"Yes, it seems so."
"Xenifa, you seem awfully young to own so many companies, and have such a diverse knowledge and background experience. Do you mind me asking how old you are, or how you manage this?"
"No, I did say as you wish."
Ted blushed and had bitten chagrin.
"I happen to have an ability to analyze business and project trends. A few wise investments in markets that had only begun to establish themselves yielded exemplary earnings, which I reinvested. As to my age, how old do you consider it to be necessary requirement to be successful in business?"
"Oh, I don't mean it as an insult or to question your ability. Just a compliment."
"I merely wish to know your opinion, as you seem to believe I'm too young to be this successful."
"I don't know."
"How old are you, Kate?"
27.
"I was already a commander before that age."
"Is that where you get your discipline from?"
"Yes and no. I've always been strict. Father would say I was more regimented than even he was."
A customer entered the restaurant, causing a gust of wind to brush over them.
"Oh, it's getting colder."
Tess shuddered from the cold and rubbed her arms.
"It is. Shall we go?" "Unless you wish to eat more,"
Xenifa said with a tiny sly grin.
"Oh, you're a cut-up, Xenifa. Real funny,"
Ted chided back.
"No, but I need to pick up something."
Ted held up a finger and went to the counter. A few moments later, she returned carrying two big bags.
"Okay, let's go."
Xenifa looked at the bags, but did not ask. As they walked to the limo, Ted waited until Thomas opened the door and then handed him a bag and whispered something which caused the driver to start. He blinked to call the bag and nodded with what Xenifa saw as a blush coloring his cheeks. When they returned to Xenifa's home, Tay handed Philippe the other bag and did the same thing.
"You have a kind, innocent heart,"
Xenifa said to Tay. "Just thought they'd enjoy a treat too," she replied shyly.
"For that I thank you."
Tay gave a half shrug, blushing.
"Just seems like the thing to do. They've done so much for me."
"Would you care to sit in the study?"
"Oh, yes. I'd love to talk to you in front of the fireplace about all the things you've collected and done,"
she replied excitedly.
"Then so it shall be."
Xenifa extended her hand and Tay immediately took it, this time not letting go until they entered their study. Xenifa waved Philippe off.
"Go and enjoy your meal with Veronique that Kate has gifted you. I can manage."
Xenifa knelt in front of the fireplace.
"Building a fire?" Tay asked. "So, Xenifa,
Can you answer a question for me?
If I can, yes.
She replied while getting the fire just right and setting the fire screen in place. I originally asked you why you picked us up, but you were very vague. Basic need of human nature and curiosity. I understand the basic need of human nature as a physical manifestation, but curiosity? You've got me on, as I thought it was Tab, but you said she put you off.
Yes.
Zanifa replied, sitting in the other chair next to Tab. So, was it, and please don't think me egotistical in asking, but why were you curious, and was it of Tab or me?
Zanifa looked from the fire to Tab. I do not think of you as egotistical by any means. It was not Tabitha.
She turned to look off at nothing in particular. Oh,
Ted said quietly.
Why?
Ted tucked one leg up under the other and sat to face Zanifra. You reminded me of two individuals, uniquely different yet who supremely impacted my life. At first in appearance, and now mannerism, personality, and character.
She looked again to Ted, then back to the fireplace. Two people? Well, that's different. Usually it's the you remind me of someone line.
She posed her fingers as air brackets when she spoke the word. Each was markedly different in their own right.
Well, I hope they were good impressions upon you. Tess said as she admired what she believed was a regal profile, as she looked at Zanifa staring into the fire.
Life-altering.
Zanifa replied, barely above a whisper. Mistress.
Yes, Philippe.
The mademoiselle's phone is ringing. I thought it important she not miss a call.
Thank you, Philippe.
Zanifa said as Philippe handed to her bag and scrambled to answer it. Hello? Yes, I did, Madeline. Why? Because they asked and you drove her home. And yes, they questioned me too. She was my best friend and this has happened to her. No, I don't want to have coffee and discuss this with you. No, I don't want you to swing by and check up on me. I'm fine and being taken care of, safe and secure, and I prefer it this way. No. I don't need any help. Madeline, stop. Look, would you just stop? I haven't felt right since our first coffee, and if that's all the same to you, I don't want to have you pursue me anymore. Because you wouldn't take no when I tried to tell you. As a matter of fact, it was the night Tab...
Tab got up out of her seat and began pacing the room, running a hand through her hair.
Did you hurt her, Madeline? Because as far as I know, you were the last one to see her. That's why!
Her voice rising, causing Zanifa to rise and walk towards her.
Oh, all right. I apologize. I didn't mean to accuse you. She was my...
Look.
Okay, yeah. You take care, too. Goodbye.
Ted took the phone away from her, pressed the disconnect button, and sighed exhaustedly. Zanifa stood just in front of her and hesitantly touched her shoulder. It was all Ted needed as she reached out for Zanifa and began sobbing. Zanifa pulled her into her arms and embraced her gently and comfortingly. Shh. No more pain. No more shock. Zanifa soothed. After a few moments, she could hear Tess crying lighten and feel her breathing return to normal. Come. Sit and rest. As she led her back to the chair. Give her something to drink.
Water, please.
Philippe?
Zanifa put her hand out and was handed a tall glass of water. Ted drank it and sat back. I am so not wanting any more grief.
If it is in my power, you shall not.
Zanifa said from a knelt position just in front of Ted. Do you remember the woman you were introduced to the night when you were at your restaurant?
Ted asked Zanifa after finishing water. Yes, I recall her.
Well, that was her, and as you could no doubt hear, I apologize for raising my voice. She has just...
Firstly, are you all right?
Zanifa interrupted. Yes, thank you.
Ted smiled at her concern.
She was the blind date Daddy set me up with.
This caused a small twitch to Zanifa's right eye.
It was an unintentional thing, but I went along for his sake.
Zanifa shifted her eyes to Philippe and he exited, returning soon after with a tray set for tea.
Madeline seemed like a nice person with an interesting work field.
I sense hesitancy upon your part,
Zanifa stated. Yes, there's a but. Tess smiled. She just felt off to me, here, in my gut.
Ted motioned with a hand on her stomach.
I just thought it was because I wasn't giving her the benefit of the doubt, and she was only just introduced to me. But the second meeting was just as weird, and the third just creepy.
Did she harm you?
Zanifa's eyes grew dark, and her voice had a slight edge to it. No. Ted was looking at the fireplace and missed a look. She just acted possessive, and something must have happened in the parking lot, because she came back almost flustered.
What night was this?
The night I bailed Ted. The night.
She couldn't finish the statement. Zanifa rubbed the hand that she held in hers.
It is okay.
She said she wanted me to consider her getting to know her, me better. I tried to say no, but she said to give it time due to Tab's call.
Do you feel she had anything to do with Tabitha's demise?
I really don't know. I just know she said she wanted to talk to her regarding a tiff we had at the police station. She said she had nothing to do with it as she dropped her off and went to a gas station further up, and then headed back to her hotel. Last she saw of her, she said she was climbing the stairs to her place.
Well, it is for the police to find the details and sort them. You should rest now.
Zanifa said as she rose from kneeling on the floor, still holding her hand.
Can't we just sit and have this tea? Please? I don't want to be alone right now.
Tess said in a small voice.
I could never allow such a thing intentionally, Kate. We will sit as long as you wish.
Zanifa let go of her hand and turned to pour her a cup of tea. Surprising Zanifa, Tess stood up on her tiptoes and gave her a kiss on the cheek.
Thank you,
she whispered. Zanifa froze. Tess sat and began drinking her tea, unaware of the reaction she had caused. Shaking herself from her stupor, Zanifa finally sat, staring off into the fire's flames. After a while, she turned to look at Tess, finding her asleep in the chair.
Dear goddess, what are you doing to me?
Zanifa said, looking at the sleeping beauty.
She is all that I could ever want and more, yet so forbidden to me.
Zanifa stood, walked over to Tess, and took her cup from her hand, placing it on the table. She bent and scooped Tess up in her arms, gently cradling her and going to the guest room. Gently laying her down, she removed her shoes and pulled the blanket up over her. Sleep well, little one. Zanifa choked, realizing what had just escaped her lips that had not been uttered by her in over a millennia. She brushed Tess's hair from off her face with a gentle caress and left the room. Zanifa wandered the city street for a while, coming back to Tab's apartment, then proceeding to the gas station, mentally calculating time and specifics. A few hours later, back at her home, she made a mental conclusion that this Madeline was the cause of Tabitha's death. By Tuesday, the coroner had released Tabitha to the funeral home, as directed by Ted, and the funeral was scheduled for Friday morning. The police had finished with Tabitha's apartment, and Ted had decided to give most of the possessions to a charity to give to families that were either destitute or struggling with nowhere to go, with the stipulation that they never made anyone pay for anything. Some items Ted kept for sentimental value of the time that they had shared together. During this time she was sorting things, Ted was unaware she was being stalked. Zanifa could sense another's presence while with her, but could not afford to leave Ted's side to further investigate. It was also at this time that she started to realize she truly enjoyed Ted's company, their talks and meals together, and alarmingly enjoying the nightly kisses to her cheek from Ted.
Miss Olympia?
A voice asked when Ted answered her phone.
Yes?
It's Detective Harmon here.
Oh, hold on, Detective. What can I do for you today?
Well, this is an informal call, actually. I just wanted to talk to you about the preliminary results of the investigation and ask a few more questions. Would I be able to meet with you to discuss?
Could you hold a second?
Sure.
Zanifa?
Yes, Kate.
A smile graced Tez's face at her name rolling off Zanifa's lips.
I've got Detective Harmon on the phone. She wants to meet regarding Ted. Can I?
Yes.
But you?
Anything you need, wish or desire is at your beck and call, Kate.
A deep blush and an extreme shiver of her body at the thoughts her statement caused.
Thank you, Zanifa. Sincerely.
Tiff finally was able to say in a quavering voice. Zanifa gave a small nod while lowering her eyes in acknowledgement.
Detective, do you know the Black Marble building downtown? Yes, that one. I'll wait for you in the lobby.
Tiff hung up.
Zanifa, would you mind?
No, I shall do as you wish.
You know, I really could get used to you.
Ted blushed again and began to stammer.
Philippe.
Yes, mistress.
Philippe replied from the doorway of the study that they sat in.
Serving a tea and coffee for three in the meeting room.
At once, mistress.
He exited silently.
Shall we?
Zanifa rose, extending a hand to Ted, who took it willingly, and did not let go while they rode down to the lobby. Zanifa stood behind and to the side of Ted as they watched the detective come into the lobby.
Miss Olympia, Miss General.
Please, detective, it's Ted. Would you follow us? We're going to the meeting room where there's privacy.
The detective nodded, and once they were seated with drinks settled in front of them, she began.
Thank you for meeting with me. I wanted to give you a preliminary report of our findings so far. Since we have cleared you of any involvement, your alibi checked out. Sorry, but we had to be thorough and be assured everything was verified, so as not to look upon as being neglectful in our duties of checking every detail and lead.
Understood.
Do you mind discussing this before her funeral?
It's okay. I want to know what happened to her before I say my last goodbye. Can Zenifer stay? She's my support.
Yeah, sure. Well, the coroner's determined her death a homicide. Apparently, aside from the stabbing and sexual assault, there were some kind of markings on the wounds, as if someone had covered it up with a serrated knife to hide it.
What kind of markings?
Well, the doc found two punctured-type holes on either side of the blade. Almost like a small carving fork was used first, and then used a serrated knife afterwards.
Oh my God, Tabitha.
Ted put her hand to her mouth. Detective, did they find or recover any such item or anything similar?
Zenifer asked while she took hold of Ted's other hand.
No, nothing at the scene. And she didn't own a vehicle, and we didn't have that option to search. Tabitha wasn't into any ritualistic sort of stuff, was she? Or into any specific form of intimate acts?
No. She liked to fool around, but it was strictly personal persons. No outside influences like whips or chains or into kinky things.
Oh, okay.
Why do you ask?
Well, aside from the wound, the doc said there was a big amount of blood loss, but the crime scene was clean and we can't account for it.
Zenifer's jaw hardened and her eyes turned steely dark.
Are you saying that something or someone punctured Tab's neck and drained her blood? Like some sort of vampire or satanic ritual?
We don't know yet. It's all preliminary and conjecture. That's why we're still investigating.
What did Madeline say?
Ted asked bitterly.
Without being specific as to her statement, and it's part of an ongoing investigation. She said she spoke with her in the car as she drove to her home. Told her she was out of line with what she said to you and dropped her off. She apparently saw her climb to the stairs to her place and when she drove off to the gas station up the road before heading to her hotel. The tape from the gas station shows her purchasing some things before driving off in the opposite direction of the home, with the right approximate time.
Ted nodded almost dejectedly.
Was there anything you can add to the investigation?
The detective asked. No, I'm sorry. That's everything, as I only picked her up and then dropped her off. I wish I would have asked her to stay with me. Maybe she'd be alive, right?
Kate, you did nothing wrong. You were not to know this would happen.
Zenifer interrupted Ted.
I know. It's just hard.
Ted lowered her head, attempting to hold back the tears and failing as they began to streak down her face. The detective looked from Ted to Zenifer, their hands still joined and then back up to them again.
Well, if you do recall anything at all, please call us.
The detective rose.
Once again, we're sorry for your loss.
Thank you, detective. I will.
The detective nodded.
I'll find my way out.
Rose and left them alone.
Ted sat quietly and Zenifer did not disturb her. After a while, Ted began. I just get this feeling.
What is it?
Zenifer looked her in the eyes.
And somehow Madeline's involved in this. I know she said she didn't, and the police said they verified her story, but it just feels wrong.
If she is, she will get what is due.
Zenifer replied, with a cold edge to her voice. To be continued.
Well, that concludes episode number 188 of XNU, and that is Warrior Mind by me, your host, Cass. I hope everyone's enjoying the storyline. If you have any ideas for the show, such as song snippets, book recommendations, movie recommendations, story suggestions, author contact details, etc., etc., announcements, shout-outs, recipes, send them in to me at xeno.uber@gmail.com. So until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.